Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson for today. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 through 8. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he sent his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the living bread sent from heaven. Some Christians used to put plastic saints on the dashboards of their cars. You don't see that so much anymore, for whatever reason. Others did and still put statues, concrete statues of saints in their flower beds. And still others take a little bit different approach by turning real, actual, living believers into unrealistic straw men. Who do you think you are, or who do you think they were, that they thought that they could live perfect and heroic lives of faith? So goes the argument. An argument that don't we even sometimes have with ourselves? How in the world could we be like those heroes of the Bible? People in the Bible are real. They had real temptations to sin. They had real failings in life that attacked them every day, just like they attack us. And they had the real promise of a Savior that gave them strength to overcome their fears and their failings when those times attacked. And that real Savior gave them real strength for their faith and gave them real hopes for their future as they trusted in the Word of God for tomorrow. Such was the prophet Elijah. Elijah spoke God's word during one of the darkest times in the history of the northern kingdom of Israel. In his faithfulness, the prophet Elijah even had days of discouragement, of disappointment, of doubt in his life. But he also had the Lord's word to strengthen him. The strength that removed his fears, that got him up and got him going to continue in his life of service to which his Savior had called him. Discouragement from our sinful flesh, strength from the promises of God our Savior, those things happened really, to Elijah. And we can expect nothing else, either from our flesh or from our Savior. And so this morning we consider that the Lord is our strength in days of discouragement. We see, first of all, that Elijah shows us that the people in the Bible were real people. And we see that failures neither disqualify nor excuse us from service to that Savior. And finally, we realize that internal resources are of no help, but only God. When I say that Elijah shows us that the people in the Bible are real, I don't mean that they actually existed. Now, wait a minute. I don't mean that because you and I take that for granted, don't we? You and I accept as truth that from Adam to the Apostle Paul, all of the great heroes of the Bible, all those people that we learn about in Sunday school and Bible class really existed. That they're not part of some fable or part of some larger lesson that you don't have to take literally. You and I know that they existed. When I say that Elijah and the people of the Bible are real people, I mean that they had flesh and blood. I mean that they had a totally depraved human nature. I mean that each and every day they got up in the morning and they faced the temptation to sin and the failures of living a perfect life to the glory of God. I mean that sometimes, just like us, our human flesh can actually even get the better of us from time to time and for the moment. When this happened to Elijah, who was real in that sense, Elijah became discouraged because it seemed as if his life and his work and his life's work was getting nowhere and was all for naught. Oh yes, the Lord had fed him and others by miraculously providing food out of nowhere. Oh yes, through him the Lord had exposed the prophets of Baal and their false god for the big frauds that they are. Yes, Elijah had remained faithful and had preached God's word even as the other prophets were being murdered all around him. But where had that gotten him? Where had his faithfulness brought him in life? It had brought him to sit under this broom tree out in the wilderness. He was there because he fled for his life, because the wicked queen Jezebel, the wife of arguably the most wicked king in history, in the history of Israel, Ahab, had murdered all the other prophets of God. And then she sent a messenger to Elijah with this message. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. And so Elijah was afraid and ran for his life and sat down under this broom tree and prayed to God, take my life. I've had it. I've had enough. I've been faithful. It's gotten me nowhere. Just kill me now so that it's all over. Discouraged, disheartened, down in the dumps, Elijah just wanted to die. And in the meantime, all he wanted to do was sleep, as sometimes we want to do when we're discouraged, when we're down in the dumps, when we're disheartened. Isn't this a real person? This isn't some plastic saint you put on your dashboard. This isn't some concrete statue that you put in your flower bed. This isn't some unrealistic straw man to whom you hold up impossible ideals that you beat yourself up over the head with because you can't match them, because you can't follow in their footsteps. Maybe you have experienced those same sins. You're real people too, just like Elijah. Elijah and you and I are not plastic or concrete or made of straw. We're not always perfect and heroic in our faith. The sins of discouragement and lack of heart and some blue days of pity parties all come into our lives when we don't always experience the result of our faithfulness. Whether that faithfulness is in our role in the family, whether that faithfulness is our role at work, or maybe our faithfulness that we offer to our fellow believers in the church, or even the faithfulness that we don't always offer to our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At times, those sins get the best of us. They get the better of us for the moment, just as they did Elijah. We're quick to note, however, that the Lord was having none of it. That the Lord immediately sent a created angel to tend to Elijah. The one who sent that angel is the Lord. And if you follow along, you notice, or in the bulletin, the tetragrammaton, L-O-R-D, all large letters. That's the God of grace, the God of the promise of sending the Savior. God was not yet done with Elijah. And God was not going to let Elijah use his failures as either an excuse or a disqualifier from continuing the work, the service to which the Lord had called him by grace. Elijah's sins and failures didn't stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. And they are not to stop us. We all get discouraged. We all get disheartened. We're all filled at times with self-pity. But that does not excuse us from serving the Lord in whatever role and place that may be. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ in all of those, just like Elijah did, because he's the one, that Savior that the Tetragrammaton is pointing ahead to. So that service was to his Savior that Elijah rendered, just like the service that we render is to our Savior as well. And when you think about it, isn't that really the sin that's behind the other sins? What is the sin behind our getting discouraged, which is a sin? Or our being disheartened, which is a sin? Or feeling sorry for ourselves, which is a sin? What is the sin behind those? Isn't it Elijah's sin of being unappreciated? Of God not stepping in and treating us like we think we deserve because we were faithful to Him? We did what was right for Him, and it seems to be getting us nowhere? I'm trying to be faithful in my family to God's Word and to my Savior, and it isn't working, apparently. I try to be faithful in my job to get ahead. Doesn't really seem to be working. You know, I do that energy consuming, that time consuming, that energy draining and unappreciated hours and hours of work around the church, and you know, nobody appreciates it. Nobody's thankful. They're just happy to let me do it so that they don't have to do it. I'm getting a little tired of serving my Savior because I'm faithful and I'm trying to do what's right and I'm witnessing to Him. But all these temptations and all these sins just keep coming into my life. Just kill me now. Just let me go to heaven. Let me get it all over with. The sin behind those sins is that not understanding that those things are going to happen. And that we don't always find success. And we don't always find what we think should be the results in life. What gives us strength for that is that God understands that. And God wants us to understand that even those things serve that good purpose of making us realize that the journey is too much for us. The angel told Elijah, get up and eat and drink. The journey's too much for you. You can't do this by your own strength, by your own power. And so these discouragements, this disheartening, this lack of results seemingly when we're faithful, our loving God allows that. Because it quickly and certainly makes us appreciate the fact, this journey is too much for me. I can't continue this by my own strength in my family. I can't continue this by my own strength at work or at church or for my Savior. I need to be fed. I need to be strengthened from without so that I can go on. We come to realize in the midst of these discouragements that internal resources are no help, only God. And so God sent one of his created angels to Elijah, and the angel told Elijah to get up and eat. And Elijah got up and he ate and drank. And then he went back to sleep. But the angel did it again. Told him to get up, to eat something and drink something and go to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. This is a good lesson for us here practically that you and I need to faithfully use all the daily bread that God gives us to sustain our bodies and lives so that we have the strength to serve Him in those various callings and services to which He gives us, whether those are in the public ministry, or whether they are in our efforts to carry out God's command that we be offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. We first of all need to be fed with physical nourishment to take care of ourselves so that we have that strength. But then we read that Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. That's another name for Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And that's a little bit like when God said to Adam, who thought he was hiding, where are you? I mean, he knew, but he wanted Adam to admit it. And to talk with the Lord. And so the Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here? So that Elijah would come out and say, I want to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to be strengthened for that mission, that service that you are sending me on. Because I know now that my inner strength won't help. Only you can help. And God helped by speaking to Elijah in that cave. Remember, God didn't speak to Elijah in the wind. He didn't speak to Elijah in the earthquake. He didn't speak to Elijah in the fire. But God spoke to Elijah in the quiet whisper of His word. And it was that word of God that strengthened Elijah to continue in his service and in his ministry, and in his life as a child of God. God doesn't speak to you and to me in the big events of life, usually. He doesn't speak to us in big signs along the highway that tell us what He has in store for us. But He speaks to us in the quiet voice of the Bible, of God's Word. And like Elijah, He tells real people with real sins and real failures where your real strength lies. And He gives that real strength by promising us victory over our enemies. He told Elijah, "Don't worry, I'm going to bring judgment on those who are trying to kill you." And He promised Elijah His presence and His blessing. And God promises us that presence and that blessing, particularly of our Savior. That Savior who would pay for all of our sins and remove our guilt and our weaknesses. You and I, like Elijah, are real. And we receive the real strength of Jesus Christ, who has overcome all our enemies, even death. We can do all things through Christ, who gives us strength. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 73, the psalmist said, My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Holy Spirit calls and will continue to call lost souls through our work. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Even when those times come, don't look for always some big answer that's going to pull you up out of your funk. Listen to that quiet voice of God in His Word, of His love for you and His forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. Know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain as the Lord blesses that word. And so, when those failures, when those weaknesses, when those sins, when that disheartenment gets the best of you sometimes, get up, eat and drink some food, and eat and drink God's Word, and continue on your journey, secure in the knowledge that the Lord is the strength in our days of discouragement. Amen.